This is the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast.
He said, Austin, I've sat here and I've listened to all your great ideas. And man, you have an infectious energy about you. But he said, you know what would be awesome? He goes, if you would shut your fucking mouth and go do those things. He goes, you know, it'd be great if in 3 months I looked up on Instagram and you executed on those ideas instead of talk about them all the time.
You're listening to the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast, where we discuss tangible tips, tricks, and best practices for becoming financially free. The show is designed for people who want to either start real estate investing or for those who want to scale their real estate business.
What's up, guys? This is Jonathan Farber, host of the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast. This show is all about achieving financial freedom as fast as possible so you can do whatever makes you happy in life. For me, that vehicle was real estate, and it's how I achieved financial freedom at 27. If you want to know how I got started, my journey is presented in a YouTube video posted in the show notes, and I post daily in our private Facebook group about my favorite topics and day-to-day strategies. I appreciate you guys being here, and let's get started. Oh, by the way, reach out if you ever need help. I try to keep my calendar open to talk to anyone that needs it or has any quick questions. See you guys. Talk to you later. What's going on, guys? Today we have an awesome episode with close friend Austin Linney. He is a fellow nomad. He is in Salt Lake City, currently working on a really cool hotel project that we talk about. He's an Airbnb coach, personal business coach, and a recovering addict, which we talk a lot about on the show, and some stuff that I didn't even know about Austin, but he's just so transparent about it. It's very cool to hear and refreshing to hear how he kind of turned his life around. As I mentioned, he's working on a cool project right now. It's a hotel kind of conversion to Airbnb and also doing a rehab on the project, but he's got a lot of experience in the hospitality business. I want to say he did that for 10 years and from there started an Airbnb management company, Airbnb Arbitrage. And we just talk about kind of like all things high level of business, mindset, masterminds, entrepreneurship. We're probably going to do a part two where we just dig into Airbnb stuff specifically. He has been in the Facebook group to do a live on that topic, which I will try to dig up for the show notes here. Or if you're in the Facebook group, you can just search it and you will find it. But just a really fun episode. You could tell Austin and I are really close. We met through our friend Chris Grenzig at the beginning of COVID when Chris was like, hey, I think both of you guys are kind of nomads right now and you're both kind of doing Airbnb stuff and real estate stuff. So you might as well connect. And we connected. We actually met in Louisville for the first time with another mutual friend, Ryan Gettelfinger. And it was just a cool time. And Austin has an energy that not many people have, which is an amazing thing because most people, I think, wish they had the energy he had. And he just now needs to figure out, you know, his best way to apply it. And he talks about how he thinks about that. The main learning I had from the show was you might be a lot happier if you create some redundancy in your life, meaning, you know, multiple sets of clothing in different places, different technology that you have two or three of. If one breaks or one gets lost and you use it a lot, it can de-stress your life a little bit. I do this now. We talk about it on the show of I will keep kind of redundant cables for the podcast or wires for my camera. If I need to film or something comes up, it's not an issue if I feel like something is missing. And it also just makes my life easier, especially with this portable podcast setup. I'll just kind of like dig into it more. I have an iPad Pro, which serves as like a second screen, but I also use it a lot for like reading, Samson mic. And then I have this little, what is this called? Hearcool, like mini hub, which lets multiple wires connect. And it's like a really cool port. I'll put it in the show notes. Really good. It's all I need. And then the camera, which is just a Logitech, but it's all I need to do like portable work. I can work in Columbia. I can work in New York, North Carolina with that setup. So I like it. And I didn't like my setup for a long time, but that's an example of creating some simplicity and redundancy in your life. So when you're traveling, it's way easier to just plug and play and you don't have to worry about getting all the right stuff perfect. Today's tangible tip. If you are on TikTok or any social media for that matter, and are getting spammed, if you block that account, they will not be able to spam your comment section or your account anymore. So a lot of my friends now are like bigger on TikTok or growing on TikTok. And when someone is spamming your account, people are trying to delete like individual comments, and there could be hundreds of them if you know what I'm talking about. But one tip is if you just block that account once, every one of their past comments gets deleted. So it's way less manual and you won't have to deal with going in and removing everyone. So that has helped me, save me a lot of time. I don't think a lot of people knew about that one because I told a couple of friends and when they did it, they were like, oh my God, this is going to save me. So if you are on TikTok and you're getting spammed, just delete the one account or block that account and you won't deal with it anymore. That's today's tangible tip. Without any further ado, awesome episode today with Austin Linney. Austin, what's up, man?
Yo.
Welcome to the podcast. Finally.
Thanks, my man. Finally. Dude, I'm finally special. It feels, I don't even know how to tell you. The feeling inside is like a warm, hot chocolate.
That's nice, man. I'm glad you feel special. You know, some people may know this listening to the show. I feel like I have the worst, I don't know, short-term memory sometimes. I could have sworn you were on. I don't know if it was because I was on yours or we just talked so much or we did that live on Facebook, but no, this isn't. You weren't. This is the first time. So like it's finally happening and you're gonna go deep on weird topics.
I ask myself when I would accomplish enough that I could come on here. That's what I say to myself every morning when I wake up. How can you get so accomplished to go on the Legends podcast? Because you know, I'll say something for anybody that's listening right here. Your dedication to your lifestyle and other people is very inspiring. Like when you told me that when people join your group and you said, I sent a specialized message to each 100 guests, like that really inspired me to even dive deeper to how I am with people, which is already like turned up to 30. On relationships, right? So it was really something that opened my eyes to the dedication and kind of that personal touch.
Well, for the record, actually, I just got to say this because it was one of the most, I don't want to say strange things I've done, but it was 1,000 people actually that got selfie videos when they joined the Facebook group. So that probably was
that makes it even more. Yeah.
So that was probably a little too much. But anyway, enough about me. They could hear that. I've been on your podcast, which we'll talk about later. But Austin, give our listeners the short and sweet spiel, the intro of who you are. How did we connect? How did you get into this world of business, personal development? Airbnb, making money, all that. Who are you? How did you get here?
I got here by a lot of failures. That's the main thing. The second thing is we met. I actually just got off the horn with him right before this, Mr. Grinzik. So it was good to catch up with Chris. We were talking Airbnb. The universe is very interesting. He texted me this morning. I was like, oh, I'm going on John. So full circle. But Chris met me and he said, hey, you're moving around a lot. You're doing Airbnb. There's this other guy who's in Louisville. You need to meet him. And then we jumped on and, you know, we had a talk and then it took off from there. You know, for me, I spent 20 years in hospitality, selling wine, master bartender, chef, hotels, you know, that whole kind of scene. So I've always been really good with people. You know, in my early 20s, I like this little thing called methamphetamines. And it's not a little thing. It actually will kick your ass. And, you know, I was dealing with some stuff from my parents' divorce. And so I created a scenario where the drugs were my friend and, you know, stayed up for like 8 days one time and didn't eat. And that was kind of like the breaking point for me with the hard drugs. And so I quit those and proceeded to be a functioning alcoholic for 20 years. And then I joined a mastermind and these amazing people who were doing big real estate deals were like, dude, you're better than this. Like we see the greatness in you, but you know, drinking is holding you back. And I have been sober for 2 years and 8 months. I've lost 65 pounds. And my entire life has changed from taking that leap and asking myself there had to be better. And I've lost money in business. I've got divorced. I've been homeless. You know, all the things I've started multiple businesses that didn't go good. And in the last kind of 2 years, I've kind of found my groove with kind of, you know, one of the hardest things they don't teach you about is being a super connector. It's really hard to figure out how to make money, you know, and so I met this guy who's one of the most successful businessmen I've ever met in my entire life. This guy is the guy that gets my mentors into business deals. Like this dude is, they call him the Rainmaker. And he's, I asked him straight up, I had him on the podcast. I said, how do I make money in this? And he said, you don't. And I was like, well, that's not the answer I was looking for. He said, what you do is you continue to add value so much that people recognize and find a spot for you. And that's what's happened in the last year and a half, is that I added so much value into the community. I got so much social credit that I'm now a part of multiple businesses without having to put any dollars in, because they're purely bringing me in for my relationships, because if you need the best book publisher in America, 2.5 seconds. If you need a syndicator, 2.5 seconds. If you need money, I got you. I can call and get lenders because I've worked private equity. And so what I realized is whether those were failures or not, is that I tried all these things so I would have the contacts. And so that's kind of me in a nutshell, is kind of being the super connector lifestyle investor. You and I are very similar in the fact that we really want to live our life and enjoy it while we're living it, not when we're 65.
Mm.
And I think that inspires us to do even more business because we're so comfortable and happy with where we are, that it creates a great environment for us to kind of even add more business on. I don't know if you agree with that.
But for sure, totally. I mean, I think that's something that has maybe become more popular during COVID, but I know we were talking about that way before. I feel like even COVID, or like when COVID was, when we first met, it was early on. I feel like it was the first or second month of COVID. So Austin, real quick, I am curious though, because you've made, it sounds like such a radical like shift transformation from where you were. And maybe some of the audience, you know, they're coming from a similar place, coming from a different place, but do you remember specifically, like, was there a moment that you felt the change needed to happen, or how did that spark, you know, officially happen? Because it sounds like you were in not such a great place for a long period of time and you made a radical change to now get clean, focus on the right things, surround yourself with the right people. So can you maybe just take us to that moment and what your thought process was?
Yeah. I mean, it's really two moments. You know, in the restaurant business, you know, you dream of being a GM, right? You're telling yourself like, your bosses suck. Like, I could do this better than you. And so I got that opportunity. And it was the worst thing in my entire life. I had 14 straight days where an employee didn't show up. I was working 18-hour days. I was drinking heavily. Two days in my term, the assistant manager just quit. So like, I was running an entire restaurant by myself. It was not a good, I was sleeping in the office. Like it was a thing. I wound up pulling the ripcord on that. And I was in a bad place mentally. I felt like I needed a port in the storm. And so I started listening to Gary Vaynerchuk. I just found him at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I was out running sprints, you know, on the thing at like 3 a.m., kind of just like rebuilding my brain. And one night I was up late at night, and this guy I was following named Matty A put this thing on Instagram, and he said, I never do this, but two calls, $750. I was like, fuck, that's a lot of money for two calls. And I told myself, no, you're not going to do it. And then something told me, like, spend the money you don't have, make a decision, figure it out. I don't know if your answer is going to be in there, but I feel like it is. And so I put it on my credit card. I signed up. We had one call. It was great. We had a second call. And on the last 2 minutes of the call, he said one question to me. He said, if you 10 years from now were in a room full of billionaires and you deserve to be there, what would hold you back from that? Mm. And without thinking, my subconscious mind said alcohol. And in that moment, it planted the seed. And then I joined a mastermind, and the two business guys that I joined a group with were 13 months and 9 months sober. And it was the first time in my life, 32, 31. It's the first time in my life I saw two gentlemen that were successful that didn't drink. I know that sounds so crazy to say, but they said, if you've ever been thinking about it, take the leap. And for me, those two moments. And at that same time, I picked up Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink.
Right.
And so I'd played the victim for so long. I had never looked at myself. I never turned the mirror onto myself. And it wasn't the moment that I started taking ownership of my shit and understanding that this, and I say this to everybody that's having trouble with alcohol, drugs, or whatever there is. Here's the rub. You might be where you are, but because you're there, your choices are the reason that you got there. So here's the great news. Because they were your choices, it's also your choice to get out. And so that was kind of kind of comeback story.
You mentioned masterminds, and I think we're in a very like similar place on this as far as feeling the need to be around the right types of people. We talk about a lot on the show. A lot of people have come on, they run a mastermind, or they just started one themselves. What was the mastermind that you found or joined, or, you know, how did that happen? Because I think you know, if anyone asks me, they say, what's the cheat code to business, to success, to real estate, whatever. Not that I feel that's like nice. I've done anything that's so special. I think it's pretty repeatable. But if there was one shortcut, it would be getting around the right people and being in a mastermind, starting a mastermind, just because it's so funny what happens. It's like a keystone habit. Everything changes when you're around the right people. You're going to eat better. You're going to treat your friends better, your family better. And you know, if they're the right type of people, obviously. So for you, how did you get connected with this group? It sounds like it had a really big impact on you. And what was that like?
Yeah. So I was on Instagram. And I was looking, there was a GoBundance guy, which is my mentor's group, which is 280 millionaires, whole life millionaires. And this guy I met through them, he had a big development next to my house in San Antonio. And so I commented on the page and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is going to help the neighborhood. And somebody DM'd me from GoBundance and it said, hey, if you know any homes in the area for sale, I'm a buyer. And I told him, I said, fuck you, I'm going to buy it before you do. And so he giggled and I didn't even know his name. And he was like, hey, let's meet tomorrow. Like, you sound like a dude I need to get to know. And so he tells me about this mastermind M1. And he said, why would you want to join? And I said, because my dreams are bigger than the people around me. And he goes, done. The best answer I've ever heard. You're in, let's go. And don't get me wrong, this was $700 a month. This was not an easy thing for me at the time, but I joined anyway. And I just said, you know, I think this is going to be good for me. Right. And so there was 300 people, 280 in the group. And so we had a kind of 3 month, we had like a first month goal where like you got points and stuff on your team that you were on. And like, one of the things was like, how many people could you have a 30-minute conversation with like in the first month, right? Mm. And so everybody got like 7, 8, you know, 12. I got 97. So I met 97 people in the first month, 30-minute calls. And I'm meeting all these people, Costa Rica, Portugal, owning hotels. One guy had 130 Airbnbs. One guy had 50. I had 3 at the time. You know, I'm meeting these people in Spain, everywhere. And every one of them, I'm holding my own with them. They're saying, dude, you have so much insight. Like, holy shit. And it was in that moment that I gained the confidence to kind of like see like, hey, maybe I'm smarter, or maybe I know more than I thought. But this is really what did it for me. That same mentor that I had the call with, I said, I want to meet you in person. And he goes, no, I'm super busy. I said, no, that doesn't work for me. I said, I need to meet you in person. And he said, I got 15 minutes on this day. And so I'm in Texas, he's in Sacramento. I booked a plane flight. I flew in for the 15 minutes. I sat across the table from him. And he said this to me in the first minute. He said, you and I are no different. He said, I just got started before you with better people around me. Now go to work. Mm. And in that moment, nobody was on the pedestal anymore. And I realized that all the power I needed was truly inside me. And just so we're clear, that 15-minute meeting turned into a 2.5-hour meeting. And by the way, I'm standing in his hotel right now. That was 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. That's the same guy.
Same guy.
We'll talk about the project you're doing now, because that's insane that came full cycle. But wow, there's so many good learnings there, man. Ability to take action, massive action, not just to do the networking, but then get in front of someone. Because I think on that note, when someone sees that you will take action, it's like anything, you know, like God helps those that help themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, people want to help. The problem is, it's just when there's 10 people that are asking for help, who are you going to help? The one that is willing to do a little bit more than the other. So for some, he might have been bluffing.
I think he's probably bluffing. Yeah. Let's just call it what it was. Yeah.
But like, at least that was his kind of shit test to know, is this person serious? Is this person legit?
By the way, that's not the only time I did it. I did it the same thing in Arizona, and it took me 4 months to get that meeting. And then I just booked a plane ticket and I said, figure it out, I'm coming. And I spent the entire day with a guy who does 70 transactions a month.
Yeah, that's insane. Awesome. Before
you know what he said, you know what he said to me? This was my holy shit moment. I spent all day with him, 5 a.m. at the gym all day, went to all his projects. At 4 o'clock, I'm riding in the car. I remember where I was, the street and everything. He said, Austin, I've sat here and I've listened to all your great ideas. And man, you have an infectious energy about you. But he said, you know what would be awesome? He goes, if you would shut your fucking mouth and go do those things. He goes, you know, it'd be great if in 3 months I looked up on Instagram and you executed on those ideas instead of talk about them all the time. And that was my holy shit moment, because I realized that a lot of people talk, they don't execute.
Oh, man, that could be a whole show in itself. It really could. I mean, that's, everyone now has something to say. Very few have done a lot of things. So that's just couldn't be more true. Awesome. Real quick though, before we, I do want to touch on a couple other topics. One of them being like nomadic lifestyle, how you design that, how you set it up. Before we do, I want to just tie off the networking piece and the mastermind piece with something that maybe someone listening could take away and put into practice. Is there anything that you think someone can do, or let's say someone listening right now is struggling with networking. They don't feel like they were born in the right family. They went to the right school, or they grew up in the right neighborhood, and they don't feel like they have friends in business or real estate. What are some of the things they could do tactically today to start bridging that gap and having the right people around them, or maybe in their own mastermind or whatever?
So I like to go outside the obvious. Okay. Now what I mean by that is understand that somebody that's highly successful and very wealthy or very accomplished, they don't need a fucking gift, right? Think about that. They don't need something from you. They need two things, either a deal or value, or they need something for their family. What matters to them, right? So I tell this story and I've heard it, and I tell this story over and over again. So a guy in Scottsdale, Arizona, wanted to rent out his very nice house, right? And so he decided that he was going to, this guy rented his house for 3 months. This was 10 years ago. So he found out that the guy had two kids. And so what he did is for the entire summer, he rented a bouncy castle for the backyard. So that guy has rented the same house out for 12 years in a row. And I think the dude's made over a couple million dollars from that.
Damn.
You know, $300 bouncy castle. Guys, the problem that you're not adding value to people is you're looking at everything from a short-term lens. There is a lot of relationships. I'm going to explain something to you that's very, very hard to understand. So open up your ears. Sometimes you can ask for the ask, but it's not the right time. There's a guy, a billionaire, I wanted to get on my podcast, but I waited till I had 100 episodes because I know he wanted to see that. So I might be planting the seeds for 2 years and knowing that, like, hey, here's a short-term relationship where I can ask for the ask now, but maybe I'm planting the seeds for 2 years, adding value, and then I go in for the ask I want. And understand that, you know, treat networking like a baseball team, okay? Mm. You got your starting pitcher, you got your catcher, you got your shortstop. Guess what? Sometimes the shortstop does a couple of errors and you got to replace them, you know? And so I have my people. And so one of the things I tell people is, like, let's say you say, my goal is I want to network, right? Well, how many people do you want to network? Because that could end, you could never end. But no, you say, I'm going to meet 5 new people this week and then I'm done. So if you network those 5 people on Wednesday, then you're done for the week. And understand that one of the things I do, this is super, I rarely give this tip away. So let's say you're going to an event. Let's say you're going to a mastermind, you're going to a conference or something. You look at the people that are at the conference. You find 3 to 5 people that you would strategically meet for some reason. Once you met those people, you fucking leave.
You come with a goal. You come with a specific thing you want to get accomplished.
Alex Hormozi wrote a book called $100 Million Offers. And he has this theory, and I love this theory. He said, sometimes in business, we can overthink a situation and study too much. And so what he did when he started his business is he would go into business, he would get a problem. And then once he had the problem, he would go read the book or find the expert for the problem. And he wouldn't fill his head with extra stuff. I think we need to look at that way in life too. By action, you're going to create problems no matter what. New levels, new devils. It doesn't exist. Like, millionaires still have problems. People that make $100 still have problems. So the problems are not going to change. It's how you view the problem. And so if you have experts or a book you can read, it's better to take the action and then work the problem out, because you literally get paid on your ability to address problems. Like the more that your dollar, like my coaching clients, like, hey, I need a book editor. Done. Okay. So what is he really paying me for? The mindset coaching or the connections? Like, you know, and so it's all one and the same. And so take action, massive action. So let's say when I started my podcast, I'm going to do 190 episodes in 11 months, right? I have no idea who I'm serving, no marketing, no nothing. And this entire year has been, who am I actually serving? Let's get the marketing dialed in, because we've already established that we're consistent. Mm. Now we go focus on the little details.
For sure. Really good stuff, Austin. And podcasting in itself is amazing. And your podcast has grown into something really cool, especially because you had a different idea of it at the beginning, and then it morphed, and now it's serving a different crew, a different co-host, a different everything. So that's really cool.
Yeah, we actually have, it's actually two podcasts.
That's right.
So it's not. So I still have Construct Your Life, and then I do Brain Dump with Anthony. So yeah.
That's right. I just have that because in my head from when we were talking in Austin. We were just so high on it, you know?
We got tired of talking about real estate. Yeah, so that's why we started it.
I do too sometimes. All right. Then this is a good segue to being tired of talking about real estate. Let's talk about the nomadic lifestyle, or whatever you would call your lifestyle right now. I'm not really sure what to tell people either, or when they ask me where I live, it's kind of a tough question. But how do you think about
you know where I live?
Where?
Right here in my heart.
I can't say that to people with a straight face.
The location does not matter.
I just can't say that. I know you're an adult that doesn't know what that means.
But like, let me ask you a question before I go into my theory of it. Do you feel like you work currently? I'm being dead serious. Like dead serious. That's my serious question. Because I laugh because those guys that we play golf with, they go, "Oh, you won't last in retirement more than 6 months." Remember they said that?
Yeah.
Those guys, yeah. And I was like, I don't think you get it.
I think, yeah, I mean, the answer is no. Most of the stuff I do really doesn't feel like, I mean, especially when I put in the context of what I used to be doing, it's now stuff by choice instead of need. So there's definitely sometimes, but no, in general, it's by choice. But then that leads to a whole other conversation of like, what do you need to be happy and what do you need to get fulfilled? And in some cases, you know, hard work sometimes I think can lead to that, but I think there's just different types of hard work. So that's how I think about it. Like, do I work? Do I have to work? I mean, it's kind of like a changing thing. But at the same time, when I'm with people that I used to work with and in my corporate job, I'm like, no, I don't work anymore, because whatever that is, it was the worst. And it could be way worse than that if it was like manual labor or something I really hated. But, you know, anyway,
I think there's two versions of me. That's what I think.
Okay.
I think that a couple of things I've picked up along the way. So I always front load my week. So just so we're clear, Monday is coaching day.
What does front loading mean though? Before you jump into the schedule.
So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are my busiest days of the week. Friday, I never schedule anything. That's for golf or talking to investors or catching up on some business stuff. And Thursday's kind of, I'm busy from till like 12. Mm-hmm. And so that way it gives me the flexibility to kind of travel or do what I want. But like Monday, guys, I'm on the West Coast now. I have clients in Canada and New York. So I'm getting up at 2:30 in the morning, getting my workout in, and then I'm starting coaching at 4 a.m. So I coach from 4 a.m. to 3 o'clock. So I coach all day straight back to back to back to back. And what I've learned to do, I got it from AAA Adams, Austin Adams, this podcast guy out of Denver. The amount of time it takes us to switch off task is very hard. So if I'm coaching all day, yeah, it's a lot, but I'm in the same vein of the mindset, right? The talking about life and mindset. So I go all day. Well, that frees me up to focus on my businesses the rest of the week. What's interesting, right, is let's say I have a standing meeting at Wednesday at 8 o'clock. I do, right? A standing meeting for strategy consulting. So what I do is instead of booking a call at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, which is dumb because you go 8 to 3, I'll book the hours before and after that. So let's say for 3 hours straight, I'll be on calls, but then I'm open all afternoon. And so it's kind of like this blocking, time blocking kind of scenario. So like I have a meeting on Thursday at 12. I'm going to have a meeting at 11 before it. I'm not going to book it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon where I have 3 hours of open space. I'm going to go ahead and get it done.
Yeah.
And so the biggest issue I see with my clients on time management is they say they don't have any. And I said, let me see your schedule.
Mm.
Like, I guarantee you there's a couple, as my mentor would call it, dirty yeses on there. Are you committing to things that aren't a fuck yeah? They're a, oh, okay, I just want to be nice.
Wait, what's a dirty, what's a dirty yes? Or dirty S or dirty yes?
Dirty yes.
Oh,
yes. Like, yes. He calls it a dirty yes because you really don't want to take that meeting or you really don't want to do it, but you do it anyway. And you probably shouldn't. Like, everybody's walking around like we don't have a choice in the matter. Oh, I got to do this podcast. Oh, I got to have this meeting. No, you don't have to do anything. You can sit on the couch, watch Netflix and be fat as shit. I don't give a shit. You don't have to do anything. Nobody's got a gun to your head. But when you change the word to, I get to change people's life. I get to have this conversation with you. I get to go on this meeting where I can help somebody. Like, when you change that and understand that, to be honest with you, do you give yourself enough time to manifest, to think, to, like, you know, like, that's what my weekends are, is like kind of creating this life. And don't get me wrong, it's hard. Like, when you first start out, like, but I said to myself, like, when I left my 9 to 5, which was in the restaurant business where I work 60, 80 hours a week, I told myself that I'll take less money to be able to work from here, my phone. Like,
for sure.
And so I'm building up every business as if I'm going to fire myself eventually. And here's my biggest issue. This is the number one thing I work on. This is my kryptonite. I want to do and help everybody. And so I say yes all the time. And I have gotten so much better about saying, hold on. What is this business or this commitment? What is it going to do to my lifestyle? Does the money match what it's going to need of my energy, right? We only have so much energy. And so I really have to take a pause and go, does this commit me to something that 6 months from now, I'm really not going to be happy about? And so I'm very strategic about what they need from me. And does it match my skill set? Like, is it marketing? Is it sales? Is it, you know? And if I'm talking about the same thing, it's really easy to have that conversation. Like, if it's all based around real estate or business, but if I'm like crocheting something, like, that's way off the scope of what I'm doing, you know? So that's kind of how I do it. It works. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, you really have to be strategic about your travel. but what I did, this is what I did do. I just did this investment for myself. I have like a Rode setup. So like, I just got an iPad last week and the iPad looks better than my camera. And now I have my mic and I have my light. And so I have kind of like a Rode business travel scenario. And it's taken me some while to cultivate what works best. But man, it's a game changer when you can get that set up and it can all travel in a suitcase. So like, I took that to Costa Rica and I coached from there.
You should. Wow. You know what's hilarious about that, man, is my friend Max. That was one of the first things that, I don't know if you ever talked to him, but that was one of the first things he said to me when I was thinking about this. He runs an ad agency in New York, but he said, you just need to create like a travel pack for what your stuff, because my excuse at the time, I remember, was saying, I want to travel, do all this stuff. He's like, but my excuse was, I'm creating content, I'm doing a podcast, it just makes it so much harder. He's like, just duplicate it, just come up with an on the road version of it. And then you'll probably like that on the road version better than what you had at home anyway. And it's just bring it anywhere. And it's funny, I finally feel good about the setup I had. I did not like it for a long time, but like, this setup, easy, and it can go anywhere. Like, it can be solved for, like, something that we talk about all the time now in like internal meetings, like, everything is figure outable. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, you're not solving something that's like rocket science. You're solving, how do I just do a podcast when I'm traveling? This isn't the hardest thing. So, someone can solve it.
So let's go the game behind the game. This is okay. What people don't talk about. So we're going to go about 10 layers deep.
Oh,
do you think as a person that if you were doing something that you enjoyed, right? Or you were in a place where you enjoyed, do you think that you would show up better for your clients, for your business, for your spouse, for everybody? I think you would, right?
I think so.
So let's say today, right? Like I have like a meeting, this podcast and this, and then like, I'm going to meet my business partner who's flying in for the day. We're talking about, a business. We're going to whiteboard it real quick. He's in town for a couple hours. But what I'm saying is like, okay. And then tomorrow I'm going to go like kayaking or like hiking and stuff. And so it's like, yes, I still have to work. But if I'm in a place, right, and I'm not holding my feet to the fire or have to be in the city that I don't want to be in or have to be in this house I don't want to be in, I show up better for my opportunities because I'm happier with where I'm at. So why wouldn't you just go where you're happy? Like, why wouldn't you go do the things that you're happy with doing? Because it really is this trend that people are starting to understand, especially with going remote, especially with, Seth Godin and Aubrey Marcus talked about like the gig economy, the freelance economy is really taking steam, right? And the more specialized that you are with doing, the deeper that you get down, you can really create whatever you want. And I think the bigger issue is that people think they need more than they have. Like, dude, with like two Airbnbs, you can probably be financially free. Like that's real if you don't have ridiculous bills or ridiculous overhead. So like I think it's closer than people realize personally.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, it's like, but at the same time, there's this trade-off of when do I get to say no more? You know, and I think as you start making more money, you can say no to more things, I think about this past year for me, it was probably very similar to you. Like your COVID, it was a grind time. I did enjoy it because it felt like this exciting, like, new frontier. At least that's how I felt about it. It was like, okay, this is the way that I get out of my job. So it was a little more exciting and it was really a grind. And then when I've been out of it now, and I feel like some things are a little more established, that has been probably one of my favorite things about it, is the ability to say no. And just maybe I've gone maybe too far, to be honest. I say no to everything. Well, I don't let anything in. So like, to your point, I feel like you're kind of like in a point where you maybe have a little better handle on it than I do, or most people, because I feel like you still are growing the business, but then there's definitely places that I don't think you let stuff in.
Yeah, agreed. So there's many things there. One thing you're doing with the no, though, is you're also raising the perception of your value. So there's really good stuff going from there. But here's the deal.
That's
I have a legacy business that I'm building that's going to take me 20 years, but that's my legacy. And then I have short-term businesses that we're building for either sell or to remove ourselves in the coming years. So I think that projects have different, different time, right? But what's interesting is that we really, let's call it what it is. I got divorced last year. I was an alcoholic for years. For me, it's building time. Like I'm all in, and everybody knows that. So I turned 39 in December. So I believe that 40 to 50 for me is empire shit. Like I'm building impact, empires, charities, all these things. For me at 50, this is my goal, 45 to 50. I'm going to look at my entire landscape and portfolio and I'm going to sell off what doesn't serve me. And then my goal for my 50 to the rest of my life is to give back about 50% of my time, which is to middle school, high school businesses, coach for free sometimes, charities. And so it really is that short sprint for that, the rest of my life kind of thing. But understand that I'm still enjoying my entire life in the midst of doing that, right? And so, our long-term goal, this is kind of a weird thing, and people think I'm crazy when I say this. I don't want big houses. I want medium houses, right? Because I do Airbnb. So I want 5 to 6 houses, 1-2 out of the country, the rest maybe in Tahoe or Colorado and then Texas and so on. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go buy the exact same thing for every house. Same computer setup, same desk, same everything. So when I'm there, it feels like I'm home and I'm comfortable with my things. And that way it doesn't feel like I'm on vacation. I'm comfortable in my routine.
Yeah, that doesn't sound crazy to me. I love that. Like even this year for me was all about buying the same of everything so that it's just easy. You know, like traveling when you have all this extra stuff is very difficult. It can be done, but for me, it was just too stressful. So
I just want to travel with a backpack. That's it. Yeah, I just want to travel with a backpack.
Yeah,
get to it, everything's already there.
Yeah, even like, again, Max, it's funny because we talk about this stuff a lot. He's like, get multiple sets of golf clubs. Don't even bother traveling with those. He's like, just keep one in different places. Maybe you take your older set, you put it in an area that you're not there as much, and then your newer set or two sets, you know, you mix a little. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, at the same, when you think about it, what's the value of like bringing or removing stress from your life? Time, everyone talks about, if I could save time, but like, you know, the same 10 minutes doing something you hate and something you like are very different. Waiting on an airport line versus walking right on the plane, you know, that's what's the value of that? It's hard to say because you're just in a different mindset. And again, not to be like fluffy, but that's happiness really when you can remove more moments of your life that you're like, why am I doing this? I don't like this feeling. And if you can afford to do it, those are two things that I will always pay for: simplicity and time. If I can buy those two things within reason and it's not, you know, like an insane amount that I can't afford, but even to most people, they'd be like, yeah, I would just pay for the connection on that flight. At this point now, I'm like, if I can afford it, I don't want to, because it's just problems, you know?
Well, what's interesting is I think, you know, I made this declaration, especially spending enough summers in Texas. I will never be somewhere when it's like the weather's at its worst. I won't do that anymore. I'm not like, we live in a world where you can move and you can, like, I just don't want to be the 120 degree weather dealing with it when you can be somewhere and it's 70 degrees. Mm-hmm. And so it's just not really in my bag, you know? And so it's interesting, right? Like the goal in the next year or two is to have some kids, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's the big, well, you're going to have to slow down now and everything. I follow a couple of guys on Instagram who their 3 and 4 year olds been to 9 countries, like, and they're happy as everything. And right. And so I'm not, my kid's not going to public school anyway, because I'm going to hire a full-time teacher to travel with us. So we're going to take the show on the road. Right. And so, you know, we're going to have that specialized training and stuff like that. So you really can, especially this day and age, like, who wouldn't love to travel with us and teach our kid and learn from me and be around that positive environment, right? Like that's a great job, you know? And so I look at stuff like that, and just like you said earlier, it really can be figured out. Like everything has, it might cost you, but it can be figured out.
So let's just take it again, tactical for someone that might be listening to this and they're thinking, okay, you know, Maybe they're interested in coaching. Maybe they're interested in real estate. Maybe they're interested in personal development. You know, like, are there any low hanging fruit opportunities that you think people can start adding income streams that could support this type of lifestyle? And, you know, you could go real estate, you could go not, but like, you know, for you, it's not all real estate. I mean, you're doing more business coaching and personal development.
I do business coaching, health insurance space. We're in so many different spaces. Here's what I tell people. If you are one step ahead of somebody else, you can be a coach. So what I mean by that is there a direct line between people needing you and seeing themselves in you. I'll give you an example. I have a coaching client who's been an ER nurse for 10 years.
Mm.
He is creating a course where you can break away from nursing and go invest in real estate. And so we're calling it like ER to freedom or some shit like that, right? And so here's the thing, because he has, they can classify him as an expert. There's a direct line to it. That guy was an ER nurse for 10 years. I can see my way out, and then he's going to help me. So he's so niched down to, I'm serving what I worked on, right? And so there's a direct line to easiness. You know, one of my favorite lines that I came up with is position yourself or you will be positioned. Like, and so at the end of the day, if there's a direct line to what you've been doing, right? And one of the reasons I got into coaching is because I can do it from anywhere. That's the reason, right? And I thought, here's the big thing. I thought, well, dude, I don't know how they're going to feel about me being on the road and like and everything. And I just had two coaching clients this week say that I love that when I talk to you, you're in a different place all the time, because it inspires me to model myself after you. And it gives me that inspiration. I thought they were going to need me in the same place, the office, you know, the whole thing. And like, they actually like it. Right. One of my coaches said something to me. He said, you never have to worry about coaching clients because you only coach what you've been through.
Mm.
And so in the moment when I meet somebody, I'm like, oh, victimhood, got it. Divorced, got it. Starting a business, got it. And it's so easy for me. That's because I've already lived through it. And it's very easy to teach them what I've been through, because you're nothing. I'm not the savior. I'm nothing. I'm just a guide. Mm-hmm. I'm just a guide to kind of run you through. And it, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of energy to be in a part of everybody's life, but you learn how to control it and you learn how to like take your time and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I mean, that's the number one thing that I tell people is if you have something that you're passionate about, whether or not you're making money doing it, by doing that passion, it's going to create positive aspects in your life. Mm. So if you like collecting cards and you're not going to make money off of it or start a business, but it makes you happy, then you're going to show up in other aspects of your life happier because you're fulfilling that need.
Yeah. The thing that I don't think I thought about enough, or most people think about enough, is that you don't need to replace your income to be financially free. You're just trying to replace your cost of living. And obviously there's an amount you'd like to make over that so that you can have savings. But at the beginning, you don't need that. And when you have all your time back, then you're probably going to be way happier. When you're happier, you'll probably find new things to make you money, and you'll find new people that you can partner with. Like, that's typically how it happens. But I think if most people wait to get out of a job they don't like by building a side hustle of replacing their salary, it's going to be way harder.
Way. Almost. Yeah. It's going to take a long time.
Long time. You know, like, it's doable, but like, way harder. It's much easier to maybe tweak some of your finances and then find something that can replace a chunk of it and then chip away at it, you know? So that's a good point. Austin, you know, time always flies when we catch up, man. What's top of mind for you, man? Catch us up on the hotel and then we'll get you out of here.
Yeah. I think that, I just moved yesterday to Tahoe. We've been here for about a month, but we just moved into the hotel. You know, he's purchasing a 30 room hotel today on the lake. We kind of go for the boutique style, where we're trying to modernize it with the touchless hotel. So VAs, creating kind of a virtual concierge. And so we're living in a place where, we're just very happy about being a part of the community and continuing the legacy that this hotel's had since 1960, updating a couple things, adding some modernness. So this is 67 keys on this Lake Tahoe. And then the goal is to keep buying more. And it's really just creating those experiences for people. And then dropping the traditional hotel model with Airbnb added onto it. So kind of supercharging the revenue when possible.
That's so cool, man. And I just looked it up before when you were talking about it. It looks like it's already a six spot, and with a little TLC, it could be level.
We got extremely lucky that the owner was an engineer, extremely thoughtful and kind of detail oriented. So everything is top notch. It's the first time he's bought a hotel where everything was ready to go. Mm. So we're really excited to not have to do like a full remodel and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Okay. Awesome. What's the best way for people to connect with you, find you on social media, multiple podcasts? Where is that? Sure.
So go to austinlinney.com, L-I-N-N-E-Y. And also you can hit me up on Instagram, Austin Linney. Shoot me a DM. I will respond. Sometimes I'll just call you right then and people freak out sometimes, but that's how I roll.
That's hilarious. Sometimes it's faster though.
Yeah.
Austin, yeah. You the man. I want to do, I think now part two, we didn't even talk about half the stuff that we wanted to, but I got to talk to you offline also on some other stuff, some more collab stuff, but it's so good to catch up, man. Seriously.
So great to see you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I got to get out that way. All right, bro. Thank you again for coming on. All the best.
Hey, you millennial millionaire. Are you looking for help getting to the next level in real estate? Are you looking for accountability and strategy to achieve your goals? If so, Jonathan is now taking on one-on-one students and opening a few spots in his private mastermind. It's affordable and welcome to everyone. If you had any questions or think you may need a boost, send Jonathan a message on Facebook or email at johnjfarber@outlook.com.